There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Not as nice as Sam's, mind you. How is that?
I slept through the night again. It's really? Every night now. I'm sleeping through the night. It's a different world. I was in a dark place.
Mine came in a box like that, too.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to sing a song about being in a dark place.
Yeah.
We've all been there. I can't wait to hear.
About the sleeping?
About the dark place.
It's too soon.
No, it isn't.
No, right.
We're gonna pick that scab tonight.
I know you are. Yeah. And I know that I'm just going to get ripped apart for it.
Why?
It's okay. I've cried enough. I don't think I have any more tears to cry. Yeah.
I'm going to say...
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to say something. The picture that I saw with your brother and your mouth on his wheel, mouth open like a guppy... I'm thinking, thank God the person that is actually looks decent is wearing pack fair colors. Not
you didn't wear the kid again.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah, see, and this is the jeans. This
is a skin suit.
So what? Like, what were you packing?
What would a you lot pack? Of stuff.
Did you use
a
everything?
Lot of stuff? Yeah, he was almost all my nutrition.
He should be your Sherpa.
Yeah, he should have been my Sherpa. Apparently. You jerk.
Anyway, shame on him.
That's fair. Before it would not have been a good sighting.
Before we begin, I am going to say that I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot today. Details to come. Before we begin, because I'm high, I smoked a big bowl right before the show starts. Sponsor mentioned some of our great supporters. First off, Untapped Maple Alert, everybody. Alert. New flavors are entering the already brilliant line of products at Untappd. Maple, if you haven't tried the Maple Aid, it's a simple solution for hydration that works perfectly now in grape and pure maple flavors. In fact, they are now available now through the link at packfilo.com. Get them out today. So, yeah. Maple Aid, not the stuff we do. The Untappd, what is it called?
Gels,
basically. But this is the stuff you put in a bottle and drink it like that. So yeah, I sound very educated. Sorry, Untap. Wahoo Fitness, did you see the update? Has anybody got the update?
Mm-hmm.
At my training camp this weekend, I was able to control my music my Wahoo. Wow. And it was really cool.
Do you have to sync Spotify to it then or anything? Like,
I did it through Spotify. I did it through Apple. I did it anything. I just, when I hit play on my bone cones, the ones that don't cover my ears, I just scrolled through my page and I was like, holy shit, there it is. And it showed my song. And I can adjust the volume and I can adjust the song track on all of my fingertips there, which
That's
is
cool.
really nice.
Because
when you're like me and you hit a long playlist and something really mellow comes on, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be going fast right now. I need something better than this. Bing, bing, bing. Foo Fighters or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Old school punk. So it's really cool. Be sure and check it out. There is no better time to jump on board and be a Wahooligan. Check it all out through, of course, our website link. And lastly, Cycle Systems Online. You ever dream of being a top-level mechanic? Wish there was a way to learn all there is to know about bikes in the comfort of your own home at your own pace? Well, Cycle Systems has it all made for your wrench dreams to come true. Someday my wrench dreams will come true. From the basics to the brutal, you can check out the sample courses today with little or no commitment. Trust me, you can fix it. Use our link. Now, Let's go play bikes. Okay.
I think I need to take a course on that cycle systems online.
Do you?
Probably.
More to come.
More to come.
It was mechanical?
I don't know.
He needs the mental portion.
Sufferfest is that one.
Yeah, oh, that's one.
Well, Holy Week is come and gone, and there's been plenty of drama in the classics, in the Basque Country, in Ephrata, in Chelan, and well in the hospital. And local racing starts this week. We are 2 days away from local racing officially kicking off. Welcome to the longest running podcast talking about bikes. Welcome to the Rim Break Bar. We are live at packfiller.com, and the glasses are full. You went back to cider.
Mm-hmm.
I never know where you're coming or going. As with any proper stage race, let's start with tonight's prologue and see who's here. Gentlemen, what was the last stupid argument you had with your significant other? We don't want any divorces here, so keep it clean. Last stupid argument you had with your significant other. Paul's going to have to think about this because he never argues. First of all, he makes the best Belgian waffles I have ever tasted, Mr. Paul Maine. I'm serious.
These like that?
Fucking yeah. things were so good.
Well, the recipe is in the Scratch cookbook.
No shit.
Yep. Feed Zone.
I would have seriously eaten the one you... I opened the garbage today and I saw the one that was slightly burnt. And I was like, what?
It was on top.
I should have eaten it
still. Still good.
It's still good.
It was crusty.
Oh, what? I don't care.
10-day rule.
Yeah. It looked so good. They were delicious.
Yeah, they're good.
Do you want to tell me about a silly little kerfuffle you've had with your wife?
And I can't remember. We were at the restaurant that we've been going to quite a bit, but we found a new one that we're going to be going to quite a bit.
Ooh.
Yeah. Has anybody been to kerfuffle? Wooden City yet?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh. Wooden City?
Wooden City.
Never heard of it.
Good.
Really?
Yeah. You step in that place and it's like, we're not in Spokane anymore. I mean, just the way the place is laid out and stuff. And it was good food. My wife had the vegan burger, and she goes, they're going to lie. This is not.
That's what I did, too.
They make
it like,
in-house.
This isn't a burger, or this isn't vegan. And they're like, that's our vegan burger. I'm like, this is meat.
Renee says that is the most incredible, like, non-meat.
The cow was on a vegan diet before they killed it.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, she's like, no way. But anyway, so we were at Purgatory, and they were playing, like, a bunch of, you know, big hair music. Not really big hair, but kind of in that time period.
1980s.
And we had a discussion of who did this one particular song. And it's to the point like, no, I don't. And we're trying to not step out on each other's toes. It's like, nah, that's not who it is. And anyway, I got to the point where we both stopped, looked at each other, and went to our phones to see which one was.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, that was your argument?
Yeah, a little discussion. We don't get into too many arguments.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was right?
Often.
Who was it?
I think it was me on this one. That's not very common. But it was just like, she was pretty sure. I wasn't sure.
Great white tiger? Mm-hmm. White snake?
No, it was during like a Bon Jovi time period, but it wasn't Bon Jovi, and it wasn't, what's it? Axl Rose.
Guns N' Roses.
But it was something else. But anyway, can't recall because I'm 61.
That was kind of a letdown.
Sorry.
I expect better kerfuffle.
Well, you said the most current.
Oh, okay. Okay. Most recent. You're
right. I can go really. I got a deep bag of that.
Yeah, right.
Like last week, you know? Oh, jeez.
Next off, he is half of the most messed up example of brotherly love I've ever witnessed, Dr. David Waples. How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
You guys are messed up!
Yeah.
Amen.
We will find out more later. Speaking of such, what was the most recent little hullabaloo you had with the missus? We're going to find out like somebody's like, caught her with the mailman or something like that.
Something like that. I think sometimes Danielle and I, like recently, we watched this. What was this fighting movie with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Roadhouse.
And we were like fake. You remember when you like punched the guy in the face, in the throat, and like broke his neck or whatever, and he like died. For some reason, afterwards, we were both like walking up and just going like, whoosh, like as close as you could get without actually hitting the
Holy
person.
Holy shit, your children.
Yeah, and then it just they escalated. And then, you know, it always ends with like her accidentally.
Wrestling and Jell-O?
Yeah, and then her accidentally like actually hurting me. And I'm like, that wasn't funny.
It's all really funny. Hurt. Anymore.
Yeah, she always, doesn't know.
Yeah, it always escalates to, yeah. To her hurting me.
You guys are playing Roadhouse.
Yeah, we're playing Roadhouse, wow. Yeah. Hmm.
May I add that that movie is a shitty remake of a pretty shitty movie in the first place.
I really enjoyed the remake.
Which is it? It's actually
the
called
Swayze. Yeah, oh, the Swayze yeah, version yeah. Was a terrible movie, but it everybody yeah. watches it because it's a terrible movie.
I haven't
movie.
Seen either.
Oh, I really enjoyed the new one, but
the original is on the shelf over there in VHS copy, and it's still wrapped. I have never unwrapped the copy. CP gave it to me.
Right?
Oh, really?
Honestly,
did he?
You could probably yeah. get a lot of money for it.
Probably could.
Yeah,
probably could. Yeah. I don't think
God,
anybody
you just
has
have every treasure here.
I'm an idiot.
Oh, it's crazy.
Next, he is the other half, and I'm not sure if it is brotherly love, Mr. Sam Labels.
I don't love him after this. Everybody's should. Like, man, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, no. Hear me out. Hear me out. Everybody's like, that's so nice that David was there with you the whole
recent,
day.
Recent row with the missus.
I would say the most ridiculous thing that we've gotten into recently is she didn't think that I should get this new mountain bike.
That's a big
that's
row.
Ridiculous.
Did she forget N plus one?
I know. I was like, babe, what
looking
are
at
you
going,
talking
what
about?
What are you doing, you moron?
She's at home probably just screaming at the, you know, she's already said, she's like, you can get it. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just making yeah. a big deal of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So because she just I'm gives dramatic. You shit about it now.
Yeah, she's just tired of hearing about it.
Oh, okay.
She's like, Sam, I get it. It's like this morning I, you know, came out. I'm like, you think I should ride my new mountain bike to work again today? And she just goes, just shut up. Like,
yeah.
She have said, the bike be done with this.
She said, you can get it, but don't touch me.
Yeah.
I'm just had that no, experience.
Just, I've had that experience. I'm speaking.
Well,
from,
go ahead.
My wife and I have, touch have a joke about my wife and I have a joke about the bike that just came to the house. So I'll tell you that when we get to it. Yeah, you got to remind me. You got to remind me. Okay. Next off, he although you can't tell, likely has a tan from his recent trip to Arizona. Mr. Jackson Bulger, pale
it's,
boy tan.
Is yeah, that it's tan? Not very tan.
Oh,
we wore a lot of sunscreen.
Good
you
good
you
for
got
you.
Out before they just went absolutely batshit crazy today in terms of their abortion rulings.
Well,
yeah,
good
they
on
adopted
that.
A rule from 1874.
Arizona did?
Yeah, shit you not. Yep. Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. Anyway, we aren't political.
No.
Jackson, when was have you had a fight with your new bride yet?
Well, it's tough to really even call her my new bride with how long
well,
we've been together.
Year.
Yeah, but we've had a lot of time together. That's I say that in such like a
big
like,
sigh.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We have, but not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. In probably the best way. We both don't really like to pack. Well, I'm fine with it. She really doesn't like to pack that much, and so I think we didn't really get in an argument. We just both got annoyed with the idea that we had to pack. That was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
Wow.
I know it's very.
You're not getting squeezing much juice out
not
of this.
Not much. Yeah, yeah, it's really a lame opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus. It's probably because we actually enjoy the
yeah,
people
I mean,
that
everybody
we're married
is yeah. happily married. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Now, if it was my practice wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much
yeah.
time do you got?
Me, I'm the only guy here at the bar with three new holes in his groin. My name's Pat Bulger.
Three?
Three.
Three.
What did they do?
Actually,
you?
I think it was four. I think they have two on each side.
Oh, let me
that's
see.
Where they went in. Yeah. Drop. And the most recent thing I argue with my wife is over the dishes. She is a let them soak and I'll
no,
do them in
no,
the morning.
No.
I come in the morning and they're all there and they're dry and crusty and I hate that. And so I will sometimes I'm throwing my wife under a small bus, just a tiny bus right now. Sometimes they won't get done until I come home the next day. I mean, come home from work and I'm like, honey, I love you. I'm not going to cook until the kitchen's clean. And she'll just be like, I know. I'll clean it. I said I would clean it, so I'll clean it. And so then we get into this.
This is very familiar. My wife's at home like, thank yeah. you, Pat.
I think we bicker a lot. Jackson, do we bicker a lot? Your mother and me?
How do I put this? Yes.
We do. We do. I mean, we have this running joke that on my headstone, it's going to say, shut up, Pat. That's why my my Instagram handle is Shut Up Pat Bolger. Mm-hmm.
That's just a healthy for your marriage.
Wife. She's been saying Shut Up Pat for 30 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're 30 this May. So, yeah, there we go. So there we go. Wow, as it has been 2 weeks since our last show, a lot has happened. Pro seasons have been made and dashed. Dreams close to realization are crushed completely, and so much more. So let's get to it. Start off, let's recap everyone's cycling lives over the past 14 days. We're going to go in dramatic order, I think, here. So let's start with Jackson. His is probably the most relaxed and mild, right? Your trip to Arizona, no bikes.
Yeah.
Was there any withdrawals at any point in time?
No. I went prior to leaving. I rode 4 straight days. And then I said this to Paul. I was like, oh, I bet you this will be like a perfect taper for the, you know, first race of the season. Because it was very active. Our trip was.
Yeah, you did a lot of hiking.
Yeah, we did 4 hikes in 3 days, which was amazing. It's such a cool place, Sedona is. And then I got back yesterday and I did a little bit of like a, I'm kind of doing like openers this week right now, just to prepare for what's to come this Thursday. But it's been great. I was a little bit interested to see if I'd lost like any being off for, you know, 5 days, but I was just being dramatic and there's nothing, no fitness lost or anything like that. So it was excellent though.
Good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first major travel event as a married couple?
I mean, honeymoon.
Alone.
Yeah.
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 Since your honeymoon.
Yeah. And that we, you know, completely financed ourselves and everything. Yeah. So that was, it was fun. We called it our first like real grown up trip.
Yeah.
It was cool though. Yeah. It's cool. Like I said, Sedona is a really cool place, especially if you're someone who likes to be active and outdoorsy. So yeah. I suggest it.
Right on. Paul, you mentioned before we went on air. Shaking your head. Yeah, none. What is going on?
A lot of things just, you know, family-wise. Yeah. And, we're doing a little smaller remodel. So today I was going to get out, but there's some electrical work to be done. So
oh, God.
Wait, so you haven't ridden since we rode?
Yep.
Is that right? Okay.
That's correct.
That's wow.
Not good.
I didn't do really any better.
Yeah.
Might as well have not ridden.
No.
Speaking
here
of
comes.
Which, let's get to the Waples boys. I will ask you both just at the same time. This weekend, you guys attended the Ofreda Gran Fondo, which is a gravel event. It is windy. It's rolling. I've done it myself. It's as fast as you want it to be. There are cookie and food stops if you want, but if you don't, you probably didn't stop at them. What were you guys expecting upon leaving for and attending this event? I remember Montana saying, I'm going to kick serious ass. Was the ass-kicking mentality there, or was it more of a, I'm just here to have fun and eat Kirkland nuts?
I will start off because my ambitions were not the same as David's. They were far less.
Okay.
I was like very much realistic. Like I thought like, man, if I could sneak in top 25, I'd be pretty happy.
Remind us of distance and elevation.
Yeah. So it's 85 miles and it's something like, I don't know, 39,
49. Yeah. 40, 45, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that. You go up over 2 substantial climbs.
Yeah,
you start off with a significant climb, which is what hurts the most, right? That's what splits the group and why I was like, I'm not going to make it over with those. Like, those guys are crazy that get over first.
Jeez, Sam. I did it 2 years ago and I made it over with the
front group?
Yep.
Liar.
Nope.
He was on a road bike.
Well, you're better than me. So I
mark this moment. 17:39 into the recording. April 9th, 2024.
Make that into a soundbite.
I'm putting it on a fucking plaque.
Yeah, make that into a soundbite. Yes. You're better than me.
I need to. That's a great idea.
Okay. So my ambitions were that. My ambitions were
okay.
You know, go in with that, David.
I mean, I was like, I wanted to be in the front. I thought this climb's not going to be that bad compared to Kennewick. I'm in much better shape, and I wanted to be like top 10 at the end.
Okay.
And how did it go?
My horse had a broken leg.
Your horse?
My horse. I told myself going up the climb because I got into the front. I was with the front group, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, Sam's nowhere to be seen.
So when you say horse, you mean horse ass?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, we're 20 minutes in. There's four more hours. I don't really know any of these guys. It'd probably be more fun to ride with Sam. I'll go back and get my horse, and it'll pay off on the flats.
That's literally adorable. That's so, that's precious.
You think so?
Drop back to the next group back. Oh, where's Sam? Nowhere to be seen. Oh, shoot. Okay, go back one more. Still no Sam. Go back one more. Oh, I think there he is. So I go grab it. I'm like, okay, I'll pace you. Let's go.
Let's go, horsey.
Yeah, we'll get to the top. It'll be worth it. It's going to flatten out, right? We'll catch him on the flats. No big deal. So I did that for a while.
A long while?
And then there was one point where I realized this is a gimp horse. This is a dead horse. This horse isn't going anywhere. I'm pulling. We get to the top of the first climb, and I'm like, okay, time to close some gaps. It's like a slight downhill. Let's go. And I'm like, I'm starting to put down power and try to close gaps. And then I'm losing him. And I'm like, I have to sit. I did the thing where I sat upright and blocked wind.
As he could
wind.
To make as much. Yeah.
I was blocking wind. I was pedaling upright like this just so I could block wind and give him a draft. And then finally, I think we got to like the downhill section, like the legit downhill section. And at that point, like that's where we actually started closing on people. But again, it was like I would take Sam, get him into a group, go to the front of the group, pull that whole group to the next group, go make sure Sam was there, go to the front of that group, pull that whole group to the next group. And we eventually made it back to the chase group.
He's not even lying.
It was...
To the lead group or the chase group?
To the chase group.
There ended up being like 10 in the front, and then we made it to back up to the group that was chasing them before the final implosion.
And did you hang on?
Yeah, Sam? So...
Let me before we get to Sam's version of the story, I'm going to go back to our text thread here, our group text thread. And I was asking if everybody was coming, and may I quote you?
Sure.
I hate bicycles. I quit. I'm not reaching Thursday, meaning racing Thursday, and I may never come on the podcast again. There is no story. No part of me was in attendance today. My body physically crossed the line, but my soul and legs are somewhere still out in the hills.
Sam, this is a more dramatic one here.
Sam, you had me mildly believing every single word you said. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, what happened to this guy out there? What happened, Sam?
Okay. So I'm going to start back a little bit further because kind of like Paul, like my life has been busy. I have a student that I'm training at work. So I have that on top of it's getting very busy season, which is a good thing for bike fits, right? So I just have a lot of things that I'm doing. Didn't have a lot of time to ride. That's my fault. I could have prioritized it. It's leading into a race and I'm like, it's a practice race. Problem number two, I'm on my feet all day trying to get my bike
ready.
Okay,
none of the
stuff.
Fucking excuses. Tell us about the day.
This leads up to it.
This leads up to it.
All right.
Problem number two is I'm on my feet all day, Saturday. Okay. That's on me too. I could have been better about it. Problem number three, I get 5.5 hours of sleep. I show up to this race and I'm like, this is going to be worse than what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're riding and we're going up this massive climb and I'm like, whoa, I'm putting out substantial power. Like I'm sitting at 475 and I'm going backwards, like way backwards. I'm like, and I don't think that my tire choice was that poor. Like I decided to run a little bit wider tires, be a little bit more comfortable. Thinking can't be that bad. And I like mentioned to David at some point, but I don't want to be the guy. And I'm like, David, I think that like my brakes are rubbing or something, man. Like there is something wrong here. And I had noticed, which once again, I'm my own mechanic. It's my fault. I probably should take a course on this. That my bike would not really free spin at all backwards. And so I'm
Cycle
like,
Systems
where is
Academy,
this?
Yes. Sponsors of the Pack Filler Podcast.
Yes.
Free videos.
So I'm going to get on that because I'm like, you know what? Put it out of your brain. It's not a problem. Just ride.
And it wouldn't pedal backwards?
So yeah, I'd spin the crank and it would go whoop and it would just stop. And I'm like.
So the free hub is.
Something is
chain,
stuck.
The chain isn't.
Either it's the crank or it's something, but I'm like, you know what? I don't have a time for this. Uh-huh. Like I got to go. So what had happened, and this was the final nail in the coffin. This is not why I like had a hard day, right? But my bottom bracket had completely backed out against my crank and I was pushing against that the whole day. Yeah. My skewer had backed halfway out in the rear wheel. And so my, I actually like I was at a serious low. I was ready to quit bikes, and then I look at my Strava and I set an all-time personal record for power for an hour.
I saw that.
I set PRs for both 5-minute, 8-minute, and 10-minute power,
and also a pretty crazy like, number. Do you want to say what that number is?
I don't. Yeah, it was in the 400s or something.
479.
Yeah.
For how long?
for 5 minutes for or eight
that
minutes.
That was your hour.
Yeah. No. That was an hour.
Oh, that was your five?
That was five. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was five or eight. It was something. But that's long. Still... It was long. I mean, like, it was sustained power. Yeah. Like, I was up there. And that's why I'm like, oh, okay, well, my body did feel like shit and it wasn't my best day on a bike. But also... Clearly, I did have some fitness. I was just concerned that I have had no fitness. And I'm like, David is literally waiting for me. Everybody's like, I want to circle back to this. David's like, the sweetest kid in the whole world, right? Everybody's like, oh my God, your brother came back and picked you up this whole time. That's so nice. And I'm like, no, that fucker just wants to see me die. He just wants, he'd come back and look in my eyes and be like, no, he's still there. Okay, let's go again. And you're like, yo, I want to see the light leave your eyes. And I'm just looking over and I'm like, leave me. Leave me to die.
I mean, quite literally, there was one point we were chasing and I was like, I'm getting a little bit tired of being, we were like literally 50 feet off the back of a group. And every time I'd try to speed up, he'd fall off. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, you need to hold. And I went back and I pushed him. I pushed him into the group.
Yeah, just go. Get there.
With but my it's hands.
Like, we're going on like either like even false flats and people are just all coasting and I'm spinning and I'm sitting at like 200 watts. And I'm like, man, why am I sitting at 200 watts right now when everybody else is coasting?
You didn't see the bottom bracket or
so
or
I didn't. It honestly, like you didn't, I didn't see it. I looked and I'm like, oh, it seems kind of weird. It's all black and it's all like it was pretty close, but it has this compression ring. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's weird. Anyway, I own it. Like I should have caught
no
that beforehand.
No point did you say for a second, I'm going to stop. I'm going to spin the wheels. I'm going to see if anything's wrong. I've got to get this demon out of my head.
No, because I'm thinking like, oh, it's just in my head. I'm just weak.
Hear that?
True. Yeah, I'm just like, who's going to be the guy that pulls over like, my brakes? And then you get off. Guess what? It's not. You just suck.
I would immediately pull over.
And guys, I mean, like, everybody here at the table has had that time when they're like, my brakes are locked. And it, obviously, it's not. I've had those times. It actually happened.
But I've had times when my brakes are locked.
Great, locked.
Back in the skewer days, I remember starting a time trial and pushing so hard that I pulled my wheel askew, and I'd have to stop and straighten it out and put it back in.
Yeah. No, I was like, thank God for power numbers. Like, David then starts going through just to rub, you know, like, salt in the wound. He's, like, listing off all the people that are my weight and everything, and he goes, oh, they did less power and they were faster than you. They did less power and they were faster than you.
I was like, one, like, the guy that I can think of that's closest to Sam's body habitus is... tall, mildly obese, that sort of thing. He's like, he was like 20
minutes 20 up on us
to 30 minutes faster with an average power output of like 205 and yours was 220 for the whole thing.
Yeah, 224.
And I mean, you limped in at the end. You were limping. Like we just significantly, the last 15 miles, I was like, I'm not even going to. I just like we slowed
he just
down.
Rode next to me basically.
I'm not even gonna keep trying to pull.
I was like
I thought
pushing
you were quitting
so hard.
Sport.
I was about to. I thought I was that bad. And I mean, thank
you
God
got
I saw
the best
power.
Workout you probably
I ever had.
Yeah.
And that's
and you so did you.
So I would have had an easier day if I had stayed in the front group.
Oh, yeah.
I did so much closing of gaps and
the
chasing.
Whole
you guys
day.
Are gonna fly.
Yeah, the should. Whole day David was on the front. Like I kept coming up and like, you're a hero right now.
I love that for our Thursday nights.
Yeah
that's
right.
Awesome.
It was like, yeah, the whole day. And I was just, I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, David, I don't think I can even move up in this pack right now.
We joked about him trying to come around me at the end, but I think he
was. I literally, if I stood up, both hamstrings at mile 60 went to full lockout. I couldn't, I was pedaling up the hill, waddling my hips side to side because my hamstrings were fully locked out.
Oh, well.
You guys, it was an ugly show. Mm-hmm. That's why I almost quit the sport.
Jesus.
So that's the
you should quit being a mechanic. That's what I
did. Yeah. Oh, and
you
that's
see Sam
like,
coming at you with a wrench. Run.
Run.
Yeah.
I could fix that.
No, get away from my bike. Good. High five. Don't even get that bike out of your mouth.
You know what? And the reality is like, that's why I can't really say much about this. That's on me. Wow. I didn't have my bike prepped.
I got to be honest.
David's does.
It was easier to swallow when you sucked, not when you had a mechanical. Dragging around a GIMP bike is a lot worse than dragging around a GIMP brother.
Yeah.
And don't you do most of the work on his bike for him?
Yeah. I mean, I do. Like, I help him with like the more complicated stuff, but he had his bike completely set up on his
I did all mine on my own.
Well, yeah, which is why he did well.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to say, I know I've had incidents that too. So that's...
It just happens. It's...
Yeah. Well, mine was down at the Dalles, and then it was the Gorge Roubaix.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the chase group, and all of a sudden it's like, God, what is... I could hear like my chain not lined up. My free hub, it actually came with a lock nut backed off.
Oh, shit.
And I'm out, and I'm in the woods trying to find a piece of stick to get in there on the teeth.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just dumb. And it's like, never in my life, I can't believe, how did I miss that? Because that is not...
And it was just the Saturday, and you know, the Saturday before, like, to finish the sentence off or the whole story off, like I had a hell of a time trying to set up my tubeless. Like, because that bead was so tight, it didn't want to pop on. So it's like I was so sick of working on the bike at the end of it that I just was like, I saw that it didn't spin very well, but I was like, I don't like. That's probably just in my head that it's that bad. Like, I'm done. It's ready. We're good. And I just left it. So,
oh my God.
That's on me.
The real lesson is work on your bike the week before.
That's, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always.
There was one point I was like, did you fucking rebuild your bottom bracket yesterday?
He's like,
that's
you
something
would,
you expect from me.
I know. You don't do that. He was lecturing me. I'm like, no, I didn't touch my bottom bracket.
Oh my God. All right, I can't top that very well. I had a pretty good training week in Chelan. I had about a 14-hour training week this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got which was good. One day while I was riding in the lower 80s, absolutely beautiful. Did a little over 4 hours that day. 36 hours later, it was freezing rain and snow. And so my wife and I left after that. But it, I do have to say it was really cool to go. I love going someplace else. You know, I was thinking I could stay here and ride the routes I know and sleep in my own bed and all that kind of stuff. But I just got to the point where I was like, it's cool to go someplace else and just be in and just explore and go places. And, you know, I went from one day where I rode, I got over 4,000 feet of climbing. The next day I rode in the plains and it was super windy and I got that in. And then some days I had lakeside views. Some days I had winery views. And it was just a really cool place to go and ride. And then... you know, nightly we were at an RV park near the town so I could walk to get groceries every night. And my wife came with me. She works from home. And so we upgraded our internet, and I don't want to promote the internet company because it's a douchebag of all douchebags. But we bought the satellite internet thing, and we can turn it on and off as we go throughout the summer, stuff like that. But she was able to work sitting in the RV, and then, you know, we'd hang out at night. And I will say we camped with two dogs, which is a little bit of a pain in the ass, you know, especially when one is big enough to fit in the RV. And so that was a lot. But other than that, it was great, and it was really good. Second thing, I got a new bike. New bike week.
Love
Jackson
that.
Had to come for the delivery for me because Canyon shipped it to us, and I, you know, the Canyon does not endorse this podcast, but I do have to say they have an absolute brilliant business model. Mm-hmm. I ordered a Lux full suspension mountain bike, cross country mountain bike, and out of the Paul snore.
Yeah, I'm gonna go take a poop.
Well, I was gonna buy a new road bike, but my road bike is flying, and I have two really nice sets of wheels. Yeah. And if I buy a new road bike, everything's void. All that stuff. I'm back to one set of wheels, and I want to ride this bike a little bit longer. I got another set of brake pads sitting in my toolbox, so it's like.
And if you're going to Belgium with me, you don't want to take a disc brake.
Exactly. Yeah. So but I will say about Canyon, from getting it down here to the shop to ready to roll. And I took my time. I got distracted. I did a couple other things. It took me 20 minutes to put that bike together out of the box. And cool. I, by no means, and I am I a, you know, workshop aficionado, but everything was dialed straight out of the box. And it comes packaged beautifully. It comes with accessories. It comes with the you know, the proper carbon fiber grease to put on things. And
torque stuff. Wrenches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It comes with its own torque wrench. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And all the bits to change from different parts of the bike. And I was really impressed with it. I do need to ask you guys as we are here, our LBS supporters, what are you guys' thoughts on somebody commented online when they said that maybe bike shops should focus on low to mid-range bike sales and repairs and not worry about the inventory and the overhead cost of high-end bikes, because most people at our level, when we go in, we want to buy a bike, we want a color, we want a size, we want specific componentry and stuff like that. Would it be a better business model for some of those manufacturers to deal direct to consumer and allow the LBS to do something different? Or is this going to be the nail in the coffin for an LBS?
David and I talked about this.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we were bringing up is that, you know, local bike shops, they're not making their money off of bike sales. They're making their money off service.
Yeah.
And the tough thing right now, especially like in our area, is the service turnaround is ridiculous. Like we're talking well over a month service.
Several months.
Yep, for service on your bikes. And so, you know, while that's one way to go about it, also, if you want to encourage the purchase through a local bike shop, give people priority maintenance. Like let them get to the front of the line for service at the bike shop if they're going to buy through you. And if you're going to buy through, you know, some online company that's not local, I mean, that's part of the deal. You got a really good price on the bike, but you don't get as good of service from your local shop because you didn't buy it through them.
Hmm. Yeah. So that was like, I mean, I thought that was a great, like, thought was just
incentive.
Yeah. I can guarantee you, if you buy this from us, this bike will forever get 1 week turnarounds in the shop, right? Like, heck, that's a huge incentive, because when I take my, I mean, I've even done that here locally this year, and I took it in and it was February, and they're like, we'll have this back to you in 6 weeks. I'm like, it's February.
The labor shortage is not going to improve either. Like, yeah. There's not a lot of people going into being mechanics, so that's going to get worse.
And then you also find out that wages of what that is are just realistically unlivable.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, 100%. Realistically, $19 an hour.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like that is just it's not even minimum wage, but realistically, you can't really live off that.
Well, and it's usually just part-time.
And it's seasonal,
right?
Seasonal, yeah, because there's no guarantee of winter hours, so it's just one of those things where it's like,
you can't pay a bike mechanic with cross-country skis. Well, you maybe with skis, but not with like snowshoes and, you know, fat bikes. It's not going to work.
People got to live off something.
Yeah.
And a screaming deal on a bike is not living off something, you know.
Yeah. Shit.
Yep.
I mean, there was a tinge of guilt when I clicked that button at Canyon.
But to be fair, who in this room bought their bike from the local bike shop?
I did.
You bought your BMC?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you did.
We did, but we went in. Was it there?
No, I mean, the shop ordered it.
What I mean? Like, you go in, you don't see the bike that you're buying.
No, it's not lying on the floor.
Everybody, you always have to order in through, like, through a bike shop, through an online retailer, or through a rep. It's just,
you know, David and I have had that conversation that, like, well, why are you going to a bike shop, right? Like, why are you going to a bike shop? Because, like, you do most of your own work. So it's kind of one of those things, like, if I'm doing my own work, then I kind of want to just save money and pay, you know, a little bit less of a bike that I'm going to be doing my own work on anyway. I don't want to pay the full price of that bike because that should come with other incentives of like, hey, I get boosted up in the queue or whatever.
Most of the times, I'll go in for tubes. I'll go in for, you know, stuff like that. You know, a chain.
Helmet, shoes,
you know,
small accessories, saddlebag, stuff like that.
I won't go for helmets and shoes. I don't know why. Because they don't have... one in stock.
Well, it goes back to that whole, like, for the, I'm quoting, finger quoting, if you, for the ones who aren't watching, the elite cyclist. Are we elite cyclists? We're amateur elite.
I'm super elite.
Yeah, we're all elite. Let's call it what it is.
Look at my last result.
Super elite who can't fucking adjust his butt.
Maybe the competitive cyclist, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
The competitive cyclist who wants that top-end performance road bike specifically. I find that you can find any other type of performance mountain or gravel bike at any of the shops we go to.
Most, you can. You can get a really good mountain, you know, a fairly high-end mountain bike in most shops.
But realistically...
that's more popular.
Yeah, exactly. That's, but realistically, are any of the people looking for the racing end of the road scene going into a bike shop? No. We're all getting our shit online.
Yeah. I don't know. I did get a ride on it on Sunday, and God, it's a good ride. It's a nicely built bike. It's my first time with electronic shifting.
Wow. Mm.
Freaked me out, man. Not to mention the fact that I can upload. I have an app on my phone now, and, like, for example, it's an up and down choice in terms of buttons. It's a one by setup, and I wanted the up button to be shifting down and the down button to be shifting up. But
it was different.
Yeah, it was different. And so I came home and click on my phone, and it changed the programming for it. I mean, you can just boom like that. It's just like, holy shit.
SRAM or Shimano?
SRAM. Yeah, they're really easy to program.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's cool.
It found everything. It was, you know, paired everything really quickly, and it
micro adjusted on your phone now. Mm-hmm. And
that's the beauty of Bluetooth.
It's unbelievable. Right, yeah, and it's like I said, it's a comfortable riding bike. I'm still working out on lockout versus non lockout, because when you're locking out the suspension, somebody helped me out with this in the mountain biking world. If I leave it as is, I still get some suspension.
You get very minimal, but it's, I mean, I'm not a pro in this, but if you lock it out, like, you're basically locking out the chamber. And so the problem is if you go over too big of a bump, you'll blow through that and your suspension's shot.
Okay.
You then won't have a lockout at all.
Okay, because my fork was giving me at least a good inch of travel
within
normal mode. Not, and so if I press the lever in, I'm getting boingy time.
Yep. Boingy time.
I mean, this is, you know, I've been mountain biking for
long
effing time. But
that's, I mean, know. Man, I think that lock, I mean, I don't know the suspension that you're running, but like that seems like that's a lot of play for your lockout.
Yeah.
Like, my lockout is like maybe a centimeter.
And I find it odd that to use your suspension, you have to push it all the way forward and leave it into that position. So if it gets bumped, it's going to snap back. And you would think regular would be don't push anything.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite on this setup. So
weird.
Like, yeah, it is. I'll show it to you guys after the show. But anyway. And lastly, for those of you keeping track, I have now had my second heart ablation. According to my doctor who spoke to my wife, left a gap or two. In the AFib signal got passed through, so you know my signal's strong. I'm strong.
First time he left a gap.
Apparently, yeah.
Sloppy work.
Sloppy work. This time,
don't let him work on your bike either.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Your bottom bracket might come off.
This time he went in. It was kind of funny. We were talking to him pre-op or pre procedure. I can't say op because David will scoff at me. And I said, my father's had two of these. And he says, oh, well, you should have told me that last time. We'd have just gone through twice. which that was pretty funny. I'm sore. My lower abdomen groin is pretty tender. So it sucks. But I feel like I've been punched down there randomly. It's like grade school all over again. Somebody asked me what the capital of Thailand is.
Bangkok.
Bangkok. So let's we got to, goddamn, that's 40 minutes of just getting through our lives. Which is what people tune in for, right? They don't need to hear the fact that Matthew Vanderpool's kicking ass on everything in the world. So let's do a quick recap of the past week in professional racing. Tour of Flanders happened. Matthew Vanderpool and Lisa Longoborghini. I know that at least three of us watched the race.
Mm-hmm. I watched the 1 hour highlight version
of Flanders. Or Roubaix.
I watched the 20-minute highlight of Flanders.
It counts.
Was anybody expecting such a dominating performance by Matthew?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Not that dominating. That's so far out.
Yeah, are you kidding me? It's Matthew Vanderpool.
How far did he go out in Flanders?
60K.
Flanders?
Yeah, Roubaix.
Maybe he's less than 50. 30? Yeah. I think 34.
Roubaix was 59K.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Orchy.
Yeah.
That's, yeah,
which you called.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You called. I almost spat out that Belgian waffle, but then it was too good to spit out because there's no fucking way I'm spitting that thing out. And it was nice to see the potential end of the SD Works reign, but for
a week,
7 days.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see there. You know, I'd love to spend more time on Flanders, but that it's 2 weeks old. It's almost old news, which is too bad, because some of me likes Flanders more than I like Roubaix, and I know Paul would be offended by my saying that.
No, because I thought I liked Flanders better until I saw Roubaix
in person.
In person.
Yeah. Mm. So it is a quick jump, but what a weekend of racing. I love the fact that the women are on Saturday and the men are on Sunday. I think it is the absolute best thing to happen to bike racing. It gives everybody equal playing field, and it's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And Paul, you mentioned that the women's race, in your opinion, was boring.
Yeah, I found it not boring. It was not desirable to watch. It was very negative. It was a series of one person would attack in the lead group.
Yeah.
And then there would be a slow chasing her on, then somebody else. And they would sit up. They would go four abreast. It was just, I don't like that type of racing.
Yeah.
You know, so... that part was very disappointing, but compared to the men's, I mean, once we were just talking, it was over.
Yeah.
The race was over. So it was more exciting,
was here.
But that race style, I think everybody's racing to race against, Capecchi. I think that's what it was all about. And yeah, I don't know. It's that's how Cat 4 races are, or a group
really?
B. Yeah, it's that single attack. There's no, nobody gangs up, or like there was no counter. As soon as you catch someone, you'd think there'd be a counterattack. No, everybody sits up.
Yep.
There should be a counter. You know,
see, part of me was thinking that was due to the just wear and tear of the race. First of all, a lot of Capecchi looked like she looked so confident, almost to the point of being over emotional.
Yeah.
At some point in time, she was commanding.
She had it pegged.
In a sense, you know, and at some point I was like going, is she being a jerk? No, she's a fast asshole is what she is right now. And that's not a bad thing when I say fast asshole.
Here's the thing about Roubaix. I know the statistic, at least in the men's, 70% of the time the winning move is not on the cobbles. It is on the paved area.
Really?
Because everybody, and Jackson and I were talking about riding on the gravel, there really isn't much drafting or anything. You're out seeking that line, and you're just maximizing your power. You're doing what you can. You want to stay in contact, and that's all there is to it. Once you get onto the pavement, that's when the strategy is. I mean, people get popped because they're just going to blow.
Yeah.
I mean, typically that's how it is. So if you think 70%, so in the women's race, that's what I was looking at. They would like hit the cobbles. One person would be out, and then they would chase them down on the pavement, and they would sit.
Oh, okay.
And then there would be right before the cobble, somebody, I mean, that seemed to be the action that I recall. You know, there's probably a couple of people will probably say no. Yeah.
And that catch moment where you sit up, that's when you got to hit
them. Because
nobody's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or two people. You know, there was teammates that could have just said, let's just mess them up, you know.
Yeah.
But nothing.
I will say Ellen Van Dyke and Piper Georgie were my heroes of the race.
Yeah,
yeah. With the amount of effort they put into it. Elisa Balsamo wouldn't have made it to that final group if it wasn't for Piper Georgie.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you could stop and say, well, she wasn't going to chase down Van Dyke, who's her teammate in the front
group. But she could have countered.
Yeah, yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think he had a lot of cooked legs. You know?
That is probably very true.
And the sprint itself, I brought this up. I did an appearance on the Cycling Legends, and I do have to say that I miss seeing a small group of people coming into the Roubaix Velodrome. Mm-hmm. The men's race, I didn't want to use the word boring, but I also, when I saw Matthew go here, everybody, you know, the guys who were here in the bar, we all just went, all right, so anyway,
the waffles.
We all just kind of watched the race, and it was over. And I, but I don't want to downplay the fact of what a fucking amazing spectacle and what we're witnessing here in terms of what this guy can do. Mm-hmm. It ain't really fun. And then we get this, and it should be an amazing thing within itself. The fact that what he did, a rainbow jersey, 2 weeks in a row. I mean, what Matthew Spring has been. But I what I'm worried about is then we're going to go into the next couple weeks, and we're going to see Tade soloing off. And then we're going to go to another race, and we're going to see somebody else soloing off. And we're going to end up with just an entire season of solos.
Yeah, I'm really... thinking that, well, first of all, Roubaix-wise, I would maybe use the word boring for the men's version.
You would?
Yeah. I was sitting there on my couch after traveling all day long, getting back from Sedona.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And I was watching, and I kind of started to fall asleep. Yeah. So I was like, I said it 3 times. I was like, oh.
Raise is over.
Raise is done. The second, was it on Cal 4?
No, it was
Orshi, right?
Orshi, yeah, okay. 60K odds is when he went.
He went, and I saw him go, and I was like, that's the end of the race. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I will say that I think a man that deserves a little bit more credit for that win is Gianni Vermeesch, who in that moment, I don't think a lot of people noticed it, but Matthew goes, and Gianni just makes the slightest move to the right, and it blocks the whole road, and that's the end of it. It was just one of those things where I was like,
well,
shit.
There's so many factors in there too, because that was the fast. They had a massive tailwind, and it was like motor pacing. I mean, it was they finished that race, 259 kilometers in less than, well, Matthew did under or five and a half hours. It's like 526 or seven,
right?
That's right. He averaged just over 29 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 48K, right?
I mean, that's
fastest Flanders and fastest Roubaix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of that, well, that's another discussion we're going to talk about later on. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is there's, you know, with that, if you look at everybody like Mads and Paulet and everybody who was in that group were trying to, and Pithy, that is, to me, this spring. Lawrence Pithy is that kid is gonna be he's only 20 and he's mixing it up with the big boys, and that's
might have a few IQ points he lost from that bounce he made in that corner. We were just like, oh, don't show it again.
But you know, to me, it's like those guys were on their knees. Everybody was putting they had Belgian toothpaste all over their face and everything. You know what it is, right?
It's the mucus. You should have seen my face.
Belgian toothpaste. But you know, those guys were, it wasn't like people said, oh, they should have worked together. They were trying. I mean, Kuhn, everybody was just blasted at the end of it. And that's just where Matthew is. We're at a magical point in cycling history that, you know, we didn't really get to see Merckx, and this is very Merckx like.
Yeah.
I mean, he's finished first and second in every race that he's done except Milan San Remo, and he was 10th. This is crazy.
And instrumental to the win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, speaking of Milan San Remo, I think there was one man that could have stuck with him on that day, and it was Jasper Philipsen. Uh-huh. Just, he is on another level when it comes to that. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to say it. He might show a little bit of his dickish side quite often here and there, but best sprinter in the world. Yeah. And he's like, he's kind of pushing that like Sagan territory a little bit, where like he can ride these classics and stick on the climbs and yet still be the fastest man in the world.
Is Alpecin going to keep him? I mean, I wrote in my notes, is Alpecin the new Wolfpack?
Yeah. The way that team rode this last weekend, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, the Wolfpack's dead because their top finisher was Lampaert, and he was 36 on the day.
Yeah.
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 So what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evenepoel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
Well, we'll get to that. How would the race have changed if Wout van Aert was there?
Quite a bit. But I don't think the result.
Why wasn't Wout there? Same.
He's got a broken collarbone.
And sternum and 3 ribs. From a crash.
What I pray to the heavens to see next year. Tade comes off of a year of a Giro Tour double because we know what probably is going to happen this year. Not to foreshadow where he's going to
see Wout at the Giro anyway.
But, he also broke his car.
I know. But, that's what I'm saying.
Tade comes off of a year of a Giro Tour double, comes back and races Paris-Roubaix with Wout and Mathieu van der Poel all in the same race. I think that would be a year upon years of a battle.
That could fantasy be background
the absolute music. But that'd be sweet. That'd be the most exciting race to watch.
Please, God, let it happen.
It
would be
so cool if you do
that for my next year's Easter basket.
Yeah, seriously.
Because next year's Easter basket is going to be in Belgium!
Yep.
That would be so cool. So speaking of which, also in pro cycling, we've had some horrid news in the crash that took out the main contenders at the Tour of the Basque Country. Primoz Roglic pulled out after crashing a second day in a row, which most people go like, well, yeah.
What?
Jonas Vingegaard has a broken collarbone and ribs, I think.
And a collapsed lung.
Remco Evenepoel, broken collarbone and scapula. And Jay Vine, I'm happy they got him out of that concrete water drainage. And of course, Wout van Aert with his injury. So, I'm going to jump around. I'm going to jump to some segments here because we had specifically talked about, I brought it up to you guys, what kind of things you wanted to talk about. And this one was one you wanted to touch base upon. And I told you I was going to put it into the main segment of the show. So with changing times, by the way.
Well, got a bumper.
Hey, boys and girls, let's sit down for another edition of Changing Times.
Wait. He has a bumper now?
Yeah. You don't get
Everybody's got a bumper. Everybody but me.
Oh.
Mine's the theme.
I was going to say, yeah.
So the concept of... Is this a season that we've seen more crashes? And if so, how do we explain it? I know there, you know, I've read theories about, you know, riding styles, bike frames, rim brakes, things like that. Paul, I will let you light the kindling here.
The funny thing is on our way to come down to the rim brake bar to watch Paris-Roubaix, Dismount and I were just like going, what the hell? And you know, why is there so many crashes? And maybe because they're high, you know, they're high visible people that are going down. But sure. I'm like, no, I mean, there is times where you just watch it just pile up. And so I think there's a mixture of stuff. But what made me think about, because we were both very much into history of cycling. I mean, he's way better than I am. You could list every... You know, Tour de France winner.
Yeah, we were talking about making him the stats guy.
He's like unbelievable. And it's all in his head. So, but it's like, for one thing, I think I kept thinking maybe part of it is because we didn't see much on TV. But then you would know when people were out, the collarbones and concussions seemed to be escalating. Mm-hmm. And this is back in the day when I started, I used to only wear a helmet during races. I would train and do morning rides. I mean, group rides, we didn't wear helmets. Maybe a casquette, but that's it, you know. And there's times we piled up. I just can't understand. Well, and then I started thinking, it's like the way we were built back then, and you look at like old pictures, they're stouter. Cyclists now are just this fragile, and they carry with these broken ribs. I'm curious. I wanted to ask where they're breaking these ribs, because they have that, they're transmitter on their back. If you look, you hit that against those bony ribs, you're gonna crack it. Yeah. And so could that be a point?
Diet, I mean, calorie restrictions,
you know, and all that, you know, that, well, just getting down to weight is one thing. And one, we've made bikes, and I know bikes are faster. When people are saying, oh, they're back on drugs because they're breaking, no, I mean, when I was 49 years old and I'm like beating my record from 29 years old in segments that, you know, before Strava, but I knew my time going up hills. It's like that's a lot on bikes and equipment and the things that we have and gearing, and positions have changed drastically. I mean, hugely. Now that turned in 36 centimeter inches. Yeah. You know, you're going to make a quick move or even control. There isn't that control as opposed to 42. I mean, that's, as you know, as a fitter, Sam, that's straight ahead. If you get things pinched in, you watch trying to control a bike from aero bars. Well, it's squirrely.
When you're just on your tops.
So, I mean, all these can be contributed, and there's no data yet. And I think we're at a point where we have to look at data. But I don't, I mean, I felt like things were safer, you know, riding in a pack back without any helmets in these steel round, I mean, our speed was down and everything. And I'm not going to say that's the problem. And I don't want to go back.
No.
But the thing is I looked at when 55 miles an hour was the rule for highway driving and stuff, and they've tried to move it up to 70. The Washington State Patrol said, we're going to have a lot more deaths. That's all there is to it. You're safer. When after several years, the data came out, way less injury, I mean, less accidents at 70 miles an hour, but the fatality rate is higher. And that's where I think that's where we're at. The speeds are so fast that the race starts that when you crash, it's not like, well, I'll just pick up my bike or I'll bounce like pithy, you know, off the pavement and get back on. These things are huge impacts. Mm-hmm. I mean, the difference between, you know, crashing at 22 miles an hour as opposed to 32 miles an hour is huge.
Yeah.
The impact is just amazing. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound like an old crony, but it was certainly a lot safer back then.
I can tell you guys that a collarbone, not that crazy. Ribs even, not that crazy. But like breaking a sternum, that's not easy. That is not easy to do.
I have two things. Like, yeah, like breaking bones, I'll touch on that first. That like there, and David, I think you've even had this as a question maybe, but kids doing cycling as their main sport growing up, in PT, there's a thing, Wolf's Law, more impact on bones, builds bone density. So that's going to be strength training, soccer, anything where you're on your feet, you're moving around.
Which we do not have.
If you have low impact activities, you're not getting that. And so you're not stressing the bones. You're not building up bone density. And a lot of these guys start at a very young age because that's what we have to do to get them to being a Tade, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you're having people out there that are also have less bone density. Like there's studies out on that right now, and I'm not saying that that's, you know, why people are having big
accidents.
These
are all theories, of course, but yeah, because there's no data.
No, just,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But my other one was like, with Arenberg, do they always have that?
No, that was added in because of the safety that hole came in is because of the crash that happened, and riders are saying that, you know, it got faster and faster going in the Arenberg Forest, and there's a lip. And there's people actually catching air going down in these cobbles. And they're the worst cobbles you can ever. Yeah. They're 3 inches separate, and there's different heights and stuff. So that was the whole idea. And, you know, a lot of people complain. Now, if it didn't blow up in the crosswind when it did at Paris-Roubaix, that would have been chaos because it'd be a massive sprint into that, you know,
into
chicane.
That hard corner.
Yeah, there would have been pileups before they got to that, you know, but at least it didn't crash.
It'd
on
been
that
slow.
I think the announcers even said that. Like, can you guys imagine 100 people going through this at one time?
Mm-hmm. And there's times where it used to be 100 people would fire it through there. So, I did want to say one thing about like modern bikes. You know, we got our position and everything, but when you have the impressive part of getting older and starting in 1985 to today is clinchers tires are phenomenal compared to what we had. They were crap. And so you just didn't take corners. Like, we're pushing the edge. And even with disc brakes, they are way more powerful and way more.
And you can brake later.
Yeah. And so then you have a chain reaction. And I'm not saying this is the case, but there's the lead guy's coming in and he gets to choose the line, when he's braking, and everybody has to marginally start.
It gets worse.
Yeah, gets worse and worse. And you look at these pileups, it's just like somebody makes a move, and then all of a sudden it just right across the road, just you know, and that's what's happening. So it's fun to go fast, but there's a payoff on that.
Yeah.
Is that, Jackson, you mentioned it. Yeah, are we staring down the barrel of a Tade Pogacar Giro Tour double?
I called it.
Yes. You did call it. Mm-hmm. That's it. But the thing is, I think that we are going to, you mentioned it before, we're going to see Mathieu start to really think about, I really want to win the Olympics this summer in the mountain bike.
Oh, and so he's done.
Yeah.
In like a week.
And so we will not see him anymore. And then we are going to see probably the summer of the rule of UAE and today. It's just, it's what it is. With such a heavy injury to Jonas Vingegaard, like, I love Sepp Kuss to death.
Dang it, you beat me too.
I love Sepp Kuss to death, but that is like...
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that, is he, do you think he's going to get like a lead role?
He could, and Mateo is probably going to get a big role too. Now,
Primus Roglic is not out. He just has an ass like a cheese grater.
Well, he always does, though. Yeah. You know, and they have a great secondary in Jai Hindley.
I don't think he's ever not had a scab on his ass.
100%.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a very different summer. I think that we are going to see a very large lead in the Giro, and then maybe a little bit of a smaller lead in the Tour.
Shit. Here's my thought on it. Think about the Vuelta. All these guys will be healed that's going to be where that race is going to be.
That's
the big one.
That's kind of depressing to think about, though, that potentially that's what our major Grand Tour is.
Oh, really? I think it's
going to
be freaking fabulous. That would be amazing if Tadej could do the doubleheader. I don't care. Like, that's still remarkable.
1998 was the last time that was done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do a little bit worry about the excitement of it, though.
Because
when you think about the drop-off in quality. Not to say that these guys are, like, bad riders.
Well, Primoz is going to be riding well.
He will be riding well. But is he going to be riding, like,
someday,
today?
Somewhere there's going to be a little piece of gravel, and he's going to find it.
Well, that's 100% what's going to happen. But it's... I don't know. I really do worry about the excitement of it all.
Hey!
Yeah.
There he goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. Like, it was a few years ago where there was a bunch of crashes, and the Vuelta was amazing. Yeah.
Tade, are you okay? No, not Tade. Sorry. Primoz.
Yeah. Well, and that was that the year that we first figured out who Tade even is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I gotta start writing down the names my wife gives these bike riders. You know, she hears what I say and then she goes, what? And then she'll repeat something back. Like Primoz Roglic, I know she calls Roglic Bumglic or something like that. You know, I can't remember what she says. Calls most of the other riders, but it's very funny. And I got to start writing them down. We'll just start calling them that. So, wow. Okay. Well, before we get to the rest of the segments, here we are an hour into the show already. We do have a bike race happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, in case you didn't know, Lotta Kopecky and Matthew Vanderpoel are both racing it. So should we just all get two picks and go from there? Or I mean,
three picks, and you can't pick either of them.
Should we even pick?
No, I can't do that.
So we like to start with the ladies. I would like to see Cassie Nieuwendyma finally reach the top step of the podium. Her second at Flanders, seeing the emotion she got when that. I'm liking her more and more and more. And I'm also rooting for my good old friend ELB. Lisa Longaberger.
Yeah, I picked her too real quickly. Those two in match real quick. She didn't race Paris-Roubaix.
She did not.
And I don't know why. If she's ill, then I made a bad choice, but I picked her because I think she set out for this particular race.
I think she set out because she's not stupid.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to rattle out any dental floss. Yeah. I mean, dental work. Hey, ladies.
For me, I chose, let's see, where am I? Oh, I chose. Besides Lotta Kopecky, I chose Demi Vollering, and I chose Elisa Longaberger.
There we go. Sam?
Yep. So the other two that I chose is going to be Corinne Lebecki and Chloe Dygert.
Chloe Dygert.
Go America.
Mark! David?
I You're still here. For names that I could remember. I picked Chloe Dygert and Ellen Van Dijk.
Oh, okay. Van Dijk had a great Paris-Roubaix. She did not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
She rode so well, and she's coming off having a child.
Just
I think
having a baby
6 months ago.
Yeah,
8 months ago.
That might have
like that.
Something to do with it.
God, just unbelievable.
Welcome back.
Yeah. The guys have nothing to compare when it comes to this.
But I have my third pick.
You do? Oh,
yeah. Nieuwendyma.
Oh, Cassie, you did pick her too.
She's been right there.
Yeah, she's just so close to that top step of the podium, and I wonder if it has to do with team.
Yeah.
Could no be. Offense to Canyon Tramp, but I think she needs a little bit more. For the men, I'm going, of course, with Matthew Vanderpoel, but then I'm going to branch out. I want Michael Matthews to do something, and I'm Tom Skoyns, I would like to see for Little Trek.
Had a good spring.
Yeah, he did.
Besides Matthew, I am going to pick Jasper Philipsen because he's been pretty out of this world.
Yeah.
And then I think a man who deserves a little bit more of a shout out for how he rode this last weekend is the one and only Thomas Pidcock.
Yeah.
Talk about picking your own line. I saw him on the opposite side of the road a lot of the times, just riding in different areas, but still in contact with the group.
He was quoted as saying that he might be too small to be a cobbled rider.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah,
bouncing everywhere.
But he does. He nails he's
just
Cross.
Great, well, he's just a great. Yeah, but like Cross isn't as that is. You're just bouncing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had a great race though. I was happy to see him at the front of things. He seemed like he was shattered, but
He wasn't even supposed to be there.
Huh?
He crashed warming up for the TT at the Tour of the Basque Country.
Mm. Again, so TTs need to be eliminated. How many people?
Talk about bike bombs.
Career-ending TT.
Yeah, TT stuff.
Hi, Chris Froome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost...
Egan Bernal.
Egan Bernal. Yeah, yeah. How many Americans are there?
Matteo, Brandon McNulty, and Nielsen Palas. And I would say in the order, Nielsen Palas, Matteo, and then Brandon McNulty, just because he's American.
You're adorable.
Yeah.
I went with Matthew Vanderpool. I put Tish Benoot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I like, I heard a little segment on cycling's podcast with Fred Wright. I think he was like, what was he, 12th or something in Paris-Roubaix? But what a character.
Tish Benoot?
That's just a heart. No. Fred Wright.
Fred Wright. Yeah.
So I think he might do well. He performed fairly well.
Can't be wrong. I hope.
I think Sam's rubbing off on me. I picked Palace and Jorgensen.
Yes.
After.
Do you want another one? You should also do like Mark Hirschi or something. He's a fun guy.
I picked Vanderpool.
I've figured out it's actually Jorgensen.
Jorgensen as a joke. I just didn't want to sound uncultured, you know?
Everybody thinks it's Jorgensen. He says Jorgensen.
I also say Vingegaard. Yeah. I know it's Vingegaard. Whatever it is, I'm like, yeah, I say Vingegaard because I'm American and I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So there we go. We have the rest of the segments to get to, don't we? Holy moly. Supported by our friends at the Pros Closet. Vast array of gear and full bikes that, although gently used, could trick just about anyone into thinking you're a dentist. Or at least a dentist budget. Be sure to use the Lincoln Pack Filler. It helps us stay hydrated. There we go. First off is Fit Tips.
Wondering about how to properly fit your bottom bracket into the frame.
Wait, you aren't even listening.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez. Fit Tips with Bike Fit Sam, brought to us by our friends at Ambassador Cycling. Get fit to get fit.
That feels good. Nice slide.
Yeah.
It's more than you deserve.
Kind of Seinfeldian, don't you think? Kind of Seinfeldian.
Yeah.
Both of your guys are fairly selfish induced tonight. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that, you know, I personally just bought a bike. And as we all know, the days of 2-centimeter increments are gone in terms of frame sizes. Mm-hmm. We are now been pigeonholed into the small, medium, and large, which I can only imagine in your line of work becomes a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to figure this all out. So, for example, this bike that came to me is a large, which, you know, fits this range of people. Mm-hmm. However, my top tube feels a little short, but the cockpit is an integrated bar and stem unit.
Mm-hmm.
So do I slam my saddle back? Do I spend a fortune of money on a new bar and stem combo? What are the ways in which you can adjust these types of things without having to, as we said, you know, go to a bike shop and ask for everything customized?
Yep. If I were in your shoes, because I actually kind of ran up against this with my gravel bike as well, is it was too short. And that's just because it's kind of how they're making things these days, because people tend to be more comfortable if they're more upright, right? It's just not more
of... slow as shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Ricky Racer way. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you're a Ricky Racer and you want to be more stretched out, you've got to, you know, come up with some kind of a solution. I put a 130 millimeters...
Good man.
Yeah. On my gravel bike, right? Like
Stem.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, that's crazy for that bike, but it's what makes it fit. For you, I would get away from having an integrated. Like, I would make the plunge, because most of those bikes, and I don't know about yours in particular, but most of them, they have this headset piece that converts it into a standard, and then you can put on a normal stem and handlebars.
Gotcha. And so I'm going to end up spending another $600-$700.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, it shouldn't be that much, like, because I wouldn't go with the carbon stem. You can stick with carbon bars. Yeah. But, like, you know, so maybe you're looking at like $300 or something like that, but then you'll forever be able to adjust it.
If I'm a centimeter off, what are the detriments of sliding my saddle back?
Yeah, it depends on where your weight is in your bike. So like it would be easy if you're feeling like you're kind of getting numb hands, and I would just slam that sucker back.
Okay.
Especially on mountain bikes, that's usually the way that it goes.
I did have a little bit of a tingling.
Yeah, so then I would try sliding it back, but you also have to be mindful. And this is, I'm a novice with mountain biking, so you know, talking about that. If you weight yourself too far back on a mountain bike, once you start going uphill, you don't have enough pressure on the front of the tire, right? Or on the front tire, so. That can be a problem if you push it too far back. But a centimeter should be fine. But it's also just a different fit. That's what's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
You need to, like, it is. That's why, like, I always tell people, I do fits for kind of gravel road bikes, TT triathlon bikes.
Mountain biking tends to be more upright.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Like, you know, if you're really going to, then you're going to drop your elbows and, like, get way down.
Yeah. 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 So. Okay. There we go. Okay. Thank you. That helped. Yep. That helped. Oh, this one's always just, this one's custom made though, so you selfish prick. Ask Dr. David tonight, and it's again once all about me, although I know, well.
And I'm the selfish prick.
We should just end the show right there.
He is.
I do know several people, this is selfish, but I do know several people dealing with this issue. I have been depressed as shit today.
Yeah.
Number one, because of the procedure I got. But number two is because I'm potentially staring down the barrel of a good chunk of the summer on blood thinners. And while some, you know, like me, you know, get a limited window in which we're on them, I know there are some people who are dealing with it on a regular basis. And there are concerns about, obviously, crashing. Yeah. But there are also concerns. I would wonder if there are performance associated concerns with living your life or being extended on some form of blood thinners for various health reasons.
Yeah. It's a tricky spot for people who value cycling as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that from like the performance standpoint, I can't think of anything, nor do I know of anything in which a blood thinner would negatively or positively influence your performance.
Really?
Like a beta blocker for sure.
Oh yeah, that one did it.
Yeah, that one, it limits performance on the bike, in the bedroom, you know, all the above.
Wait, what?
It's a thing.
You didn't even notice, did
didn't
you?
Didn't even notice. Yeah. Been married for 30 years.
but a blood thinner, you know, like...
I think I said on air about that. Never mind.
there's not much I know of in the way of impacting your performance with a blood thinner. However, you do very carefully have to weigh the risks and benefits of everything you do.
Yeah.
Because you're going to bleed. You know, you have to injure a vessel for it to bleed for the most part. You know, you have to damage it, whether that's a cut from road rash or worst case scenario, you hit your head so hard you spring a little leak.
Yeah.
And then that leak's not going to plug the way that it should.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably the advice most people's physicians would give them if they're on a blood thinner and they love to race bikes is you probably should not race bikes if you're on a blood thinner.
Yeah.
Because you can't, there's so many variables you cannot control. That being said, the quality of life aspect is a huge deal. I have patients that love to ski. They love to do outdoor things, like whether it's hiking, climbing, cycling, and they're on blood thinners. And you just have to make them, you have to make people aware that, you know, if you take a harder fall, or if you cut yourself, the bleeding may not stop like it should, and you could have worse outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, not riding your bike sounds miserable too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You can't not ride your bike. And it's not that if you ride your bike and fall, you're going to bleed terribly. That's, you know, we don't unfortunately have like a huge population of cyclists that we study falls in to tell you the absolute risk. But ultimately what I tell people is that it comes down to what you're willing to live with. And like for me personally, if I was on a blood thinner, I probably wouldn't be racing, but I would be riding my bike. I would do group rides. Mm-hmm. I would do all the things that I can think of that are really like normal in cycling, but I'm not going to be in a crit. You're not going to catch me dead in a crit because you'll catch me dead afterwards. Like
internal bleeding.
Yeah. It's not worth it. That's not worth it. Cause ultimately you want to ride your bike, you know, like, so I think it's an unfortunate place to be in. It's nice that you have a short-term window.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Some people don't. And some people, I'll tell you, I have people that don't stop or change a thing about their life because they're like, I'd rather do this and be happy and take the risk than not do it. And that's also totally fine.
Mm-hmm. It's their choice.
Yeah,
their choice.
It's not something you can make. It's not a decision you can make for somebody.
It is a very interesting fence to stand upon.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I have reasons to do one way or the other. It has nothing to do with
you. Yeah, well, thank you.
Horse ass.
I'm right here.
You know, and so, yeah, it sucks ass. So, but there we go. Thanks. You didn't give me the answer I wanted, David. I appreciate it. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
All right. You ready for your theme?
Sure.
Okay, we had to go something kind of fast for style points.
Wow.
Cool.
That is trendy.
Stop points to Jackson Bulger.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That is.
I have licensed all of these, so YouTube is going to flag me for every single one, and then I have to go on to YouTube and say, no, a-hole, I own this music now, so stop it.
Yeah.
Jackson, what you got for us?
So, you texted me earlier today, and you were like, do you have something? And I said, I'm kind of running out of ideas a little bit. And then you gave me ideas, and then I said, I'll use those. And then my wife gave me another really good idea.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
And you didn't fight over it, so you didn't have a little kerfuffle.
Well, no. Anyways, it's about facial hair.
The trend of all trends. Absolutely.
Yes, I will say. But I feel like every cyclist has such a different facial hair routine, discipline, however you prefer to, you know, refer to it. My note is called facial hair game. We're not going to play a game. It's just the game of it all. And I have questions again, like I always do. Do you as an individual really grow facial hair that well, Sam?
Yeah.
You do?
You had a good beard for a while there. Yep. Yeah, very good filled beard. Mm-hmm. Paul, I've never seen you with anything.
No, because my wife won't let it happen.
She won't.
No. But I think it would grow like a kerfuffle. Yeah, it would be.
It would be.
Yeah. So when I came back from Belgium several years ago, that was 6 years ago now, I didn't shave the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
And the first thing she did, picked me up at the airport and said, shave it. Well, missed you too.
Shave it.
Get it off. So, yeah. Get that out of here. Get it off. Yeah.
David's got the hair game.
Yeah, I feel like David doesn't really need to be asked this
question.
You've
cleaned it up, though. It's closer.
I trim it when it starts warming up.
Oh, okay.
It's genuinely a huge difference. Like when we rode last, I had a big beard, and you do not need anything down here to keep you warm. Your neck, because it was so long, it keeps your neck warm. It blocks the wind. You shave your face, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Everything's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can flex and have a 5 hour5 o'clock shower.
Hey, you had a clean shave this morning, right?
Well, I did. I shaved all of this in Chelan, which was 4 days ago.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The mustache I keep trimmed because it'll just turn into Sam Elliott. If I'm not careful.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm thinking about just going clean.
I like your style, dude.
Yeah. You got a good sarsaparilla. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know. I should I just go clean? I don't know what to do.
No, see, I'll answer the question that I asked to everybody. I've gotten to that point now where I'm almost 25, and I'll put it in this way. I trimmed my face, just the face, because I don't typically trim the stash too often except for clean up the lips a little bit, but I trimmed on Tuesday and I just did it again a week later. I had a full beard. It's those jeans that you gave me. But I am a hairy human being. However, my next question is, how do you prefer, let's say if you have facial hair, because two of the people here don't have facial hair, how do you prefer to style it, coif it?
I've had a beard before, and like it's just a pain in the butt. So that's why, I keep it trimmed kind of, I go for like Spartacus look, right? But otherwise, that's why I just do a clean shave. It's easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's just easy. But I only shave also every like 5 days.
Really?
6 days, yeah. So like,
Jesus.
That's amazing.
I grow out to like about puberty, where you're at.
Puberty
I,
will hit soon.
Yeah.
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 Oh, you grow this long?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I had this morning. And then I was like, it's got to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for me, I had a Van Dyke back in 1990. And that, I remember riding even in the winter. It's like, I did not like
because the ice on
everything
it.
Gets out of it. Yeah. I do not like it. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was, I didn't have to shave. I still only shave once every 2 days. My hair and my body is like nil.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I go full beard or mustache for ease, because even when I do a mustache, I don't use a razor. I just use a like an electric one that gets close enough, and I'm just like, you know, this is like defined enough that that's good enough.
I did a beard for a while, but the bottom half of my beard is like a skunk died under my chin. It's just all white,
very ombre.
That's I'd never heard that word before until somebody said, "You look like you're very ombre," and I was like, "What? I look like a Western bad guy?" You know, hey, badges, you know. But I just decided at one point in time to kind of keep this close, that my cheeks and chin close, and just let the mustache grow a little bit, and then people started calling me, "Hey, nice porn stash." I just wanted to go, fuck off. Come up with a better term. And now mustaches are kind of popular now. So I brought them in.
You did,
man.
I brought them back.
To the era.
I did.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking of getting rid of it. So we are in a phase, let's be honest, where facial hair on dudes is very popular right now.
All of UAE has stash.
Yeah. Even Tade?
I think so. I think that was a deal.
No, really?
We'll have to see. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while. But
so much work to shave. Like, that's the reason
But that's why I do it. Like, every 5 days, I don't want to keep that groomed.
I haven't touched this in probably, like, I shaved it down, like, a week ago, and I probably won't touch it again for 2 weeks.
I did this,
technical like, question. Do you oil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you do.
You gotta.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Even oil. I do.
What? Really? Just,
like, yes, my face you need some. Will...
Nah, I have a daily face lotion that I put on my face, and that's it.
Oh, you're talking about
beard oil.
Oh, I was thinking in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total. I
could, never mind.
Put me on a regular old strip of pavement, and I'd fly.
Yeah.
Slide. Looks good, bro.
Yeah.
Another question I have for you all is, now we're moving into the cycling portion of it, because that was just a little personal part. When you show up to an event, do you feel as if you have a certain style, because I will say there are certain styles that when you show up to an event are more intimidating, just visually, do you feel as if you have some sort of psychological advantage above another person when you show up with a full-on stash, or you show up with a full beard?
Wow.
Like, do you feel that way? Because I want to be honest, I show up, and I see a guy with a full-on mustache, hoping this works. So, and I see a guy with a mustache, I'm like, first of all, you have the confidence to do that. Second of all, he's got to be fast. Like, the second I see a mustache, like, if you know who Tobin Ortenblad is, that's the type of guy. Yeah.
No clue who Tobin Ortenblad is.
I would say... No, not for facial hair. I've never once been intimidated by somebody like that, but... I would say leg hair. I see somebody that has hairy legs. I'm like, oh, you're not fast.
Hi, David.
Yeah.
No,
and
definitely.
Then they're fast, and you're like, shit.
Dang it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I would say mustache, as long as everything is super clean on, like, everything else.
Yeah.
Like, because I show up with, like, a mustache, but it's all 5 o'clock shadowed, too. I don't think that's intimidating. But if you clean cut everything, it can be intimidating,
To me, it's never facial hair.
Really?
But how tan... The legs are. They've been out in training. That's how I know. Yeah. If I look, even with sunblock, there's no way you're not going to stay white. You start seeing these tan legs, you're like, they've been riding.
Yeah.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, shit.
I had a picture. This is going to be a vain moment. Somebody took a picture of me at the RC3 crit, and I was just standing there with, you know, my glasses on and my
on
facial
website.
Hair and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just like going, that looks cool. It's the only time I have ever thought I looked cool.
Seriously, it's the only time.
Only time. because I was just like going, I was at that moment, I was just like going, in my mind, I was going like, oh shit, 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 shit. I'm gonna get my ass kicked. I mean, I'm so fucked up. Thank goodness
you had glasses on.
Yeah. At that time, the gooders, they held my fear. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, there is that visual intimidation factor.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think there really is.
I don't know if it has to do with facial hair, but I mean, it's an individual face thing. Yeah. Stubbled mm-hmm. face looks a little grizzled sometimes mm-hmm. too, and you're just like going, "Let's fucking go!" You know, yeah. It's kind of a thing like
Crick Killian.
I feel like the clean shave is more intimidating to me, just because like they've clearly cared enough about this, right? It's almost like you're showing up to work in a full suit. It's like you've taken time to get a clean shave.
The stubbled face says, "I'm here. I'm focused on this and this only. I've been in the woods for 98 days, like Rocky, training with a log over my shoulder, crumpling chasing pictures chickens. Of an old Russian dude on my mirror until the last minute where I grab it and I pull it off the mirror and I go, 'Heart's on fire.'" Sorry, I blacked out for a second.
Got a little carried
away. I love that show.
My last thing of it all is, do you think it really makes a performance difference in terms of aerodynamics? I have the numbers.
Eddie B looked at me once and he told me I needed to shave my arms.
Interesting.
Because it was slow.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think arms, legs, yes. Facial hair does not make a difference.
I don't think facial hair makes a
dirty
difference.
Dirty hair already?
Facial hair, from what I last time I checked, they put people with beards in a wind tunnel, and there was no difference.
You also experienced it in Ephrata.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It made no difference. Yeah. Actually, it helped me.
Yeah.
So, I did watch a video.
They're like little flippers that are going faster, 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 faster.
I did watch a video day, a 2-day on this very specific thing coming out of GTN, which is Global Triathlon Network. So they were on. Mm-hmm. So it's probably false. You know, triathletes.
Yeah.
No, can't trust them.
I'm out.
Yeah.
He was on a TT bike, so it give or take this a little bit when you're on your road.
Yeah.
But at 30 kilometers an hour or 18, 19 miles an hour, it only having a clean shaven face only saves 1.5 watts. So. Yeah.
I can fart 1.5 watts.
Yeah. 45 kilometers or 28 miles an hour, it only saves 2.29 watts.
Oh.
However, legs were mentioned. I at 45 kilometers an hour, I'm going to just put it out there. Let's quickly guess. What do we think it saves?
5, 6 watts.
30 watts.
I say 2.
8.
20.
Wow. I was closer!
It saves 20 watts at 45 kilometers.
David, you need to have a kerfuffle with the missus.
There needs to be a kerfuffle.
20 watts.
It saves 20 watts because it's such dirty air. You're adding that into it.
Yeah.
20.
Either that, you got to get those stupid aero socks.
What do you think, Grizzly Adams?
I couldn't have even slowed down enough to wait for him if I had 20
watts. No, you'd have won. Yeah. You'd have won.
Well, no, because I still would have waited.
You'd have bailed on him. You'd have been standing on the podium. If he comes whimpering across the line, you'd have been laughing like an evil genius. Just
if I shave my legs, I will be waiting for nobody.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, if I have that much care about a race that I shave my legs, I am not waiting.
There you go.
You have to sleep on the couch, but outside of that, you win the race.
Why does she hate when you bump up against her when it's stubbly or something like that?
It's honestly, it's probably more me than her. I don't like shaving my legs. Like, I don't like shaving my face. I don't like the effort that it takes to do it.
It's way too much work. I'm not doing it either. It's a lot of work.
And then, like, it pokes me. It pokes her. She, you know, she doesn't really care that much. My toenails are pretty sharp sometimes, too. So.
That's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
She puts up with that.
I'm doing it tomorrow just because it's race day the next day.
I'm shaving. I am shaving tomorrow, even though I can't race this week.
21.
Wow, I was surprised. Honestly, I was very surprised.
We might need a source on this one, but
he was in a wind tunnel. They did him on a wind tunnel where he shaved, and then he took an electric trimmer and he went up his legs.
TBN.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Where was he at? Like compared to me, you know, like
oh god,
similar.
Put it away, please.
Almost well, like, a little
my
bit
cat
more.
Spit up a hairball with less hair.
Mine
than
are
that.
Pretty bad too, so Jesus. Mine are pretty bad right now.
They so are. Well. Think about those.
Although
20
thanks
when you're
to the surgery,
slamming it on
everything
the front.
Up from there
is waxed
clean.
Yeah, I sit on your wheel, and I'm doing less watts, and then I'm thinking you have to put in 20 more watts to even.
That's just a mind.
Because of that precious hair.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well,
see, it makes you think now, doesn't it?
It does. 20 watts.
Either that or move to Appalachia.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to the end. Look at that. We all got our music, and so I have nothing left to do but play our outro. And I'm going to do the outro with one of these sour candies in my mouth.
You going to try that? Try sour.
Sour cola. Holy shit. Paul brought a sour cola. Every bite. Holy shit. Thank you for listening.
I've had so much candy.
I've never expected cola and sour to go together. It doesn't.
That's easy.
It doesn't affect you. For it hit me at you first do. Like a
warheads are way worse.
Be it's sure not like good. It's not delicious.
I kind of like them.
Sour cola.
They're all yours.
Thanks everybody. Like and subscribe. It's hitting Sam. It's hitting Sam like a broken bottom bracket.
Here's him. Here's him.
Well, I gotta do it to you. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I had a 20, right? Isn't that crazy?
When you bite into it, it's crunchy. It's fizzy.
I'm gonna bring one to Maria to see what she thinks.
Mm. I'm not taking them all.
Holy shit, sour in the middle. I'm sour in the middle.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.